Here's what life is all about. To become all that we can possibly be. The full development of all of your potential, that's number one. Number two is the wise use of all of your resources. That's what life is all about. Full development. Let us consider this question. If you could do better, should you? In the time allotted to labor, in the time given to economics, care for family, success, achievement, productivity, the creation of value, the development of skills and creativity, if you could do better, should you? I think that one of the greatest satisfactions of living life to the fullest is doing the best you can with whatever you have. We're doing enough things to have arrived here today. We're doing enough things to have bought and shared in the good life so far. And maybe all you need is that extra 5%, 10% of intellectual change, activity change, a refinement of discipline, a refinement of thought. And all we need is the ideas to make those simple changes. And the equity starts gathering in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I have a good comment for your notes. Now's the time to fix the next 10 years. Now's the time to fix it. If the future gets clear, the price gets easy. Because you got to remember, for every promise, there's a price to pay. Everybody's got to pay the price. Everybody's got to do the deal. Everybody's got to do the disciplines. Everybody has to pay. But here's what I've discovered. If the promise is clear and powerful, the price is easy to pay. The price is some classes. The price is a few books. The price is a few disciplines. The price is finding something that'll make your life better, make you grow, make you change, make you develop. You're either engaged in the disciplines or you're not. But here's what we don't want to engage in. Disillusion, right? Hoping without acting. You know, wishing without doing. So the key is to take a look and say, where am I? What could I do to make the changes, to make sure that I can take more certain daily steps toward the treasure I want, the mental treasure, the personal treasure, the spiritual treasure, the financial treasure? I don't want to make any errors. Now's the time to adjust my daily program to take me where I want to go. I think my personal advice to you would be, reach down inside of you and come up with some more of those remarkable human gifts. They're there, waiting to be utilized. And then change anything for you want to change. And I challenge you to do that because you can change. If you don't like how it is for you, change it. If it doesn't suit you, change it. If it doesn't please you, change it. If it isn't enough, change it. And I challenge you to do that because you can change. See, you don't ever have to be the same again, only by choice. If you don't like your present address, change it. You're not a tree.
To attract powerful people, you must be powerful. To attract committed people, you must be committed. Instead of going to work on them, you go to work on yourself. You work harder on yourself than you work on the job. And if you become, you can attract. Here's the ultimate challenge. You've got to have patience with yourself. It takes time to make changes in habit and discipline. It takes time to correct old errors in judgment. And to finally give up old blame and pick up new responsibility.
Personal success is built on the foundation of character, and character is the result of hundreds and hundreds of choices you may make that gradually turn who you are at any given moment into who you want to be. If that decision-making process is not present, you'll still be somebody. You'll still be alive. But you may have a personality rather than a character. And to me, that's something very different. Character isn't something you were born with and can't change, like your fingerprints. It's something you weren't born with and that you must take responsibility for forming. There used to be a joke about football teams that lost every game. The coach would say, "We built a lot of character this year, didn't we?" As if character is something that you settle for when you haven't achieved what you really wanted or automatically develops as a result of adversity. I don't buy that. I don't think adversity by itself builds character, and I certainly don't think that success erodes it. You build character by how you respond to what happens in your life, whether it's winning every game or losing every game or getting rich or dealing with hard times. You build character from certain qualities that you must create
and diligently nurture within yourself, just like you would plant and water a seed, or gather wood to build a campfire. You've got to look for those things in your heart and in your gut. You've got to chisel away in order to find them, just like chiseling away rock to create the sculpture that has previously existed only in the imagination. But the really amazing thing about character is that if you're sincerely committed to making yourself into the person you want to be, you'll not only create those qualities, you'll strengthen them and recreate them in abundance, even as you're drawing on them every day of your life. That's why building your character is vital to becoming all that you can be. Charisma is a word that is often confused with character, but charisma is really quite different. Charisma is derived from a Greek word meaning an ability to elicit favor in other people. It's a magnetic quality of personality that people respond to as if it were magic. Charisma is almost like a magic wand that confers power over others. Character has a very different origin. Character comes from a Greek word meaning chisel, or the mark left by a chisel. Of course, a chisel is a sharp steel tool used for making a sculpture out of a hard or difficult material, like granite or marble. So in its origins, the word character isn't related to charisma, which is described as a kind of magic wand. Character isn't a magic wand. Character comes from chisel, and I hope you'll remember that. You've got to chisel your character out of the raw material of yourself, just like a sculptor has to create a statue. The raw material is always there, and everything that happens to you, good or bad, is an opportunity for building your character. Let me point out another important distinction between character and charisma. In both its definition and its derivation, character doesn't refer to other people. It doesn't refer to having power over other people, getting other people to follow you, or gaining favor with other people. Character is something that you have and something that you are. You could be marooned on a desert island and your character would still be important. In fact, it would likely be very important in that situation. But charisma wouldn't do you any good at all. Charisma requires the presence of others, while character is all about you. Character is the person you are after you've chiseled and chiseled and have gotten past all the unnecessary material to what's underneath. But since we're usually surrounded by other people, let me be a little more specific about how the differences between a charismatic person and a person with character can play out in the real world, particularly in leadership situations. Here are four sets of circumstances that can easily occur. First, a really charismatic person can make people believe there's pie in the sky or that the sky is going to fall tomorrow. One just as easily as the other. By creating these expectations, charismatic individuals can indeed energize and inspire others, or terrify and demotivate them, until the overblown scenarios are proven false and the charisma runs out. But a person of character doesn't need to be anyone's Pied Piper and isn't comfortable in that role. Instead, he or she looks within for the true source of inspiration and energy. Second, a charismatic person can inspire devoted or even fanatical loyalty, but this can all too easily turn into an unconscious sense of dependency. That can make matters difficult when the leader is no longer available. A charismatic coach is effective during the glory years, but when he leaves the organization, there's a sense of abandonment, and the team may never achieve anything like its prior success. Powerful personalities often resist delegating authority, but it's an attribute of character for a leader to refrain from making himself or herself the indispensable heart and soul of an organization. Here's a third difference between character and charisma that's particularly important in a leadership situation. Charismatic people have to keep pulling rabbits out of the hat. The magic of their presence has got to keep expressing itself, or people might start wondering where it went. Worse yet, they might start getting bored. During the Second World War, Dwight Eisenhower was picked to command the Allied forces in Europe, not because he was an exciting leader with a sense of high drama, but precisely because he wasn't.
There were plenty of charismatic individuals around, such as Churchill, Montgomery, de Gaulle, and Patton. What was needed was somebody with toughness, stamina, and the ability to manage people. Just before the Normandy invasion in 1944, Eisenhower met with a group of officers who would be going into battle. He stretched out a piece of string on a table and pulled it a few inches with his finger. "An army is like this piece of string," he said. "If you try to push it from behind, it just tangles and doubles back on itself. Soldiers have to be led from the front, not pushed from behind." Eisenhower may not have been colorful, but he could definitely get his point across in a way anyone could understand. He had character in the true sense. One of the biggest pitfalls for a charismatic leader comes from his or her ability to inspire love and devotion. And this is the last point I want to make. To bask in the warm glow of a leader's approval, people may become reluctant to voice disagreements. There are people who become isolated because subordinates are afraid of them, but the same isolation can occur as a result of misplaced affection. People of character are usually well-loved by everyone around them, but they make it clear that their own first love is for the truth, even if it hurts. And that's not a bad reputation to have. When you are a person of character, you know who you are and where you want to go. You've already spent a great deal of time thinking about it. You've been working on the parts of your personality that will make you better. Your attitude, your health, your time, management skills. You've been putting it all down on paper, and you've developed positive self-direction. As you talk with yourself every day, how often do you ask, is what I am doing today getting me closer to where I want to be tomorrow? Because here's what you don't want to ever do. Kid yourself. Kid your neighbor and kid me and kid the marketplace if you want to, but don't kid yourself. You can't wait around with your fingers crossed, hoping you'll arrive at a good destination when you're not even headed in the right direction. You say, well, maybe the wind will take me. There's a chance, of course, but it's about as likely as winning the lottery. You've got to take charge. Ancient scripture says that hope, if it's delayed long enough, can make the heart sick. You've got to ask yourself often, am I performing the disciplines that are taking me in the direction that I want to go? I don't want to delude myself and think I'm on the way to financial success when there's not a prayer. I don't want to delude myself into thinking there's someone else who will take care of it. Nobody else is going to take care of it. Nobody else is going to take care of me. What if all of your negative thinking relatives turn positive? What would that do for your fortune and your future? Not much. If prices came down a little, what would that do for your sophistication and your culture? Not much. If the economy gets a little better, what would that do for you? Not much. If you don't make plans of your own, you'll fit into someone else's plans. And what do you think they have planned for you? Not much. Most people wake up every morning counting on this not much list. And that's all they have. Not much. Not much hope. Not much promise. Not much progress. They're driving what they don't want to drive, living what they don't want to live, doing what they don't want to do. Forget the thief waiting in the alley to snatch your purse. What about the thief in your mind? He is tempting you to become lazy, not stimulated by thoughts and questions. Don't become a victim of yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Is this the direction that I want for my life? Is it someone else's direction? Is it a goal that has been ingrained in me since my childhood? Is it my parents, my spouses, my bosses, or my children's? Is it mine? Ask yourself these questions. Get into the debate of your inner mind. What am I doing that works? What am I doing that doesn't work? Debate it all. Work with your mind to figure out the best possible direction for you. This is your self-direction,